from Allah Ta'ala, the first thing we will do is do a dua, pray that Allah, this night of Jummah, our gathering, please accept it on this night of Friday, Jummah, our majlis and our sitting and listening, requesting du'as, doing dhikr, remembering you in your court, please accept this gathering and all the deeds that we do in this gathering, and further, whatever we learn from this gathering and hear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq, the capability, ability to practice upon this, and make this a means for our success in the hereafter. Ameen. The pious predecessors have stated and told us that insan, the human being, his going to hellfire, what will be the reason that a person will end up in hellfire? It will be due to his or her sins. His or her sins. In the light of the Quran and the Ahadith, there are many malfuzat, many events, many things that are mentioned where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He forgive us and save us from this destination and consequence. But the reason for ending up in Jahannam, hellfire, will be due to one thing, and that is the sins. And the sin, the definition of sin is disobedience to Allah. And where Allah ta'ala has told us to refrain from something, if we don't refrain, if we are stubborn and continue to sin and do wrong, then that is what will take a person to the wrong endpoint. So, the deed that will give us most loss and most negative consequences, they will be the internal batini sins. The internal batini sins are more dangerous for a person. And the batini sins, batin means internal, our inner state. And the batini sins attract us, taking us to disobedience, and they drag us towards hellfire. They take us towards hellfire. More people, the most percentage of people will go to Jahannam will be due to their batini sins as opposed to the external dahiri sins. And all the pious predecessors have given explanation on this. The reason for this is that insan, the human being, he focuses and emphasizes more on dahiri things, external. And we don't look and analyze ourselves within. What is happening? What storm is brewing within? What are the issues within me? And I pay attention more to dahir, to external, to what's in front of people, what people can see. And for example, I'm afraid if I don't do this action, what will this person say in the world? Or if I stand here and start doing this or worshipping, people say, what is this man doing? What is his action he's doing? Or if I start doing certain actions in the bazaar, people, you know, I'm afraid of the negatives and the consequence of negatives that are external. So for this reason, due to the image I want to portray and the worry of the people of the world, and what will they say? I concentrate more on the dhahiri issues. And sometimes I sin, and the reason why I do sin and don't practice, I know that I should do this action. What will this person say? What will he not say? So I'm worried about the concept, my image in the world. But why do I commit the batini sins, the internal sins? Because both of these effects are not visible. Who knows that within me what's happening? Who knows? Who knows that within me what issues are there? What problems are there? What are the trials I'm going through, etc. within? So easily I'll commit the internal sins. And it's easy for me to implement the batini sins without being checked, without being analyzed. And another point is that a person goes towards and runs towards batini sins. Is this that the person cannot see the batini sins. He doesn't look, he doesn't pay attention. So he feels, that insan, that he continues to do the batini sins. It's dangers, it's apparent consequences, the loss, the person doesn't understand. And he goes and sets forth upon the bad deeds. He starts to tread on that path. This is the reason that insan, he doesn't pay attention to the batini sins. And the person, due to the internal sins, will go into hellfire. So the first lesson we learn is that this door, we will need to close this door. The talking and speaking and the non-worry about batin. We'll need to close this door. That always, every second, we need to work for the hereafter to save ourselves from the hellfire. We should work towards going to Jannah, paradise. So the first thing we realize is that we need to save ourselves from the batini, the internal sins, the hidden sins, to control them. Now, let's go to the next step. Batini sins, the internal sins. Look, with which methodology, with tartib, Allah Ta'ala has delivered to us the understanding of deen, if only we were to practice and understand and have worry on this. So what we have to see is that we realize one thing, that the restriction for us to go to Jannah and we run towards Jahannam is that we concentrate more on our dhahir and we don't ponder and worry and work on our batin. We run towards the dhahir external. So, the batini sins, we have to think that what amal, what deed is there, what thing stops us and takes us towards the batini sins, due to which we get stuck in the sins. Some sins are made apparent and visible. What is it that makes us run or go towards the batini sins, the internal sins? So upon this, we see the ahadith. We see the ahadith, and mostly a person who does the sins of the batin, of the internal sins, there's one reason for this, that why he mostly does the sins. And if we realize this reason, the root cause, then we can control the batini sins. So what is the factor that drives us towards the batini, the internal sins? What is that factor? That is our tongue. The tongue is the underlying factor, a dangerous thing if you misused, that this leads to abundance of sin. The tongue, if you misuse the tongue. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, great companion, he narrates a hadith that the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that, O son of Adam, that abundance of sin, a lot of sin, and the sin that will be most in number will be due to the tongue. This is a hadith that has come to us. We realize the root cause, the factor of driving us towards the sin. We realize this. So the tongue is something that spoils man's situation, his deeds. So easily the tongue takes us to commit big sins. We start counting the sins of the tongue. Then don't ask what is the hal of that person. Don't ask. The tongue, to move and misuse the tongue is so dangerous. Just a few days ago, alhamdulillah, this subject came to my mind today for this reason, that one of our brothers, who's the Tablighi brother, he was walking alongside me and he said something and it suddenly struck my heart, the meaning of what he's saying. And maybe this bayan, this discussion today, is due to the point that he made. And the words he mentioned, there were just a few words, but they struck my heart with a positive effect, that subhanAllah, from within, internally I was shaken. Shaken. He just said a few words, a couple of words. He's a friend, alhamdulillah, salam, dua. And suddenly we met and he spoke to me and I grabbed hold of his words. Nasiha. Because when someone gives you good advice, nasiha, we should grab those words. So everything I'm discussing is good, isn't it? So don't let it come in one and go out the other. Put it into the heart. Let it penetrate to the heart. Don't let it leave. So, he said these words to me. He said that the tongue, he said, Hazrat, look, that this is the situation about tabligh and propagation of deen, of Islam. We have to be careful, cautious in tabligh. And from the tongue, if one wrong word comes out of the tongue, one word which is incorrect, then all the effort of tabligh will be destroyed. And if one good word comes out, then it will take the person to Jannah, paradise. So I said, subhanAllah, I started thinking and pondering and my heart thought that the whole deen, he has encapsulated in his words. Alhamdulillah, then these words were formulated in my mind. I was thinking that I'm discussing with you today. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood, radiyallahu anhu, there's his hadith and it's proven, there are many other hadith as well, that this is the dangerous thing, the tongue. The tongue, it doesn't take long to backbite, it takes a second. What is backbiting? Lying. Tell me, what is lying? And take the names of the sins and you'll see they go back to the root cause connection of what? The tongue. The tongue. This is how dangerous is the tongue. That within a second we're sitting and everything at home is nice and happy, you'll say one statement and the whole house will be disturbed. Unbalanced from the tongue. A person speaks, says a word, as like criticism for others, it becomes a wound on the hearts or bodies of others that you cannot fix that wound. You cannot heal that wound. It bad use of the tongue ends friendships between the husband and the wife. The differences are created due to misuse of the tongue. Even if he says it wasn't in my heart, I didn't mean it, but the tongue has said what it had to say. It came out of the mouth like a bullet, and the word that emanates from the mouth, you can't take it into reverse and take it back. It's been said. Tell me how big a thing this is. We don't realize our houses are, you know, destroyed, the relationships are destroyed, friendships are destroyed, relationships are destroyed, connections are destroyed, bad effects come out, enmity is bred to this extent that insan himself sometimes comes out of control. He becomes uncontrollable. He doesn't know what he's saying. What he's saying from his tongue, his mouth, and it takes him from one level to such a low level. His words, even if this was not the objective in his mind, but this is the point of the tongue, that once it's said, it's said. That he didn't control his tongue. So this is a big sin that is, it distributes the wrong effects through the person. And that's why I stated that the tongue, the misuse of the tongue, will drag a person towards Jahannam, hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allotted, assigned angels, and their connection is with the person who speaks and what he does. It's related to our tongue. So when we speak, those angels who are with us, they'll start to record and write. They've become the protectors of his book of deeds. They make a total list. Whatever words come out of our mouth, good, bad. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi said that if from the tongue, let's take an ill person who's ill, he says, oh Allah, it's shukr, that even his sighing and heaving and sighing will be written in his book of deeds. One word, one noise, you say subhanallah lightly, if someone says alhamdulillah, he's become successful. Some people kept on sitting thinking, shall we say it, but he whose tongue moved in Jannah, a tree is rooted in for him, grown for him. So to say something good, a person shouldn't think about it. When you hear something good, Allah's given kalamats and good verses, straight away we should praise Allah and say, Subhanallah, Allah, Subhanallah. So that Allah says, ah, my words, they've dropped into his heart, penetrated his heart. The pious predecessors say that when you hear something good, your hadith, it's penetrating your heart. And to protect that hadith, they're saying, say, Subhanallah, straight away Allah will preserve it and seal it into your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? But we don't move our tongue. Why? We're sitting, stubborn. There's a majlis where the dhikr is happening. Remembrance of Allah, the life is made. And if we follow the kalams and the dhikr and the statements, alhamdulillah, then Allah Ta'ala becomes happy that subhanallah, this person, he's come to attain something. He's come to attain something. But when we just sit and say, oh, I don't know if I understand or not, is it coming to my heart? So Allah Ta'ala says, in every moment we should praise Allah. In every moment we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah becomes pleased with that person. Pleased with the person. So what was I saying? That behind us we have this force that whatever words come out of the tongue, whatever words emanate from the tongue, they will become written in the book of deeds. Not one word is there that comes out of our mouth that's not recorded. And that is such a great ink, solid ink that the angels use until the day of judgment. And after the day of judgment, that ink will be preserved and it will be presented, the deeds that this person said this. He will say, I don't know, Allah did this. Allah say, you didn't know, but I made such a connection between your words and the angels who wrote them. And Allah Ta'ala will be told. So every day, every second, the tongue, it can destroy our life in the world and in the hereafter if we misuse it. So these are the internal sins. So the root cause factor of the sins, internal sins, is the tongue of the human being. It destroys the human being. It destroys him. So such a big thing. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given the cure for this. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given the cure for this. There's a little point, a little hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Man samata naja, alhamdulillah. What a small statement, but weighty, lofty, beneficial. The person who stays silent will attain success, salvation. That's the cure. The total issues of the batin are eliminated within a second by following this guidance. Man samata naja, the person who stays silent will attain success. He will be the successful person. What a great guidance. What a great cure, what a great solution. As quick as the sins come into our book of deeds, we can eliminate them. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't worry, listen to me carefully. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, listen to me carefully. Inshallah, everything in your life will become easy for you. Easy, what a great statement. What great guidance. Man samata naja. Why are you worried? Why are you got anxiety? Even if your tongue is sinning, but if you do amal on my words, my sunnah, inshallah, in this world and hereafter, you will be successful. So what a great solution we've been given. All day long we speak, we sit in gatherings, we waste our time, we're going here, there, we're shaking people's hands. Even then we say wrong things. First thing we should do, maraqabah, we should ponder all the time that whatever I say from my tongue, it's going to be recorded. I should have this regard. There are two CID angels along with me, they will not leave any stone unturned. This CID angels, the CID, they will go and give the report to their boss, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, he said this, he did this, he said this. So we should make a strong promise that we're in custody, we're in prison, we're not free, we are not free. We are in the grift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put two CID angels alongside us. They're recording, watching, they're so powerful. Whatever we say, we should be very careful the amount we can. But if we are careful as much as we want to, the tongue will always slip. So the best cure for the tongue to control it is what? Stay silent as much as possible. There was a king, I remember an event, beautiful, that I'd like to communicate to you. He had a son. And he was an intellectual son. He was his waris, you know, after the king. He was the direct descendant. He was the ayah to the throne. And he went to a gathering of a wali of Allah, a majlis. The son and the king, the wali was narrating this hadith that I just mentioned, and he heard this hadith, man samata naja, that the person who's silent, he will attain success. Just like I said to you, there's a time, if those words drop into our heart, we become successful. I told you about myself. So in his heart came this hadith, and it sealed into his heart. It was had an impact on his heart, that he who's silent will attain success. And his heart suddenly was revived. The silence is great. So what, there will be nothing when my life finishes, the kingdom, the money, the wealth, but the best thing is salvation. So I need to go from here with salvation, success. So he, what? Because the person who takes Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness and happiness will be successful. He said, this is a great, great solution. I'm happy. I've solved my issues. He became so happy that this is not a problem. Allah Ta'ala will give me salvation, success. Why? Sadaqna Rasulullah, the Nabi of Allah says, whatever he says is haq, it is truth. There's no way that we can criticize it, analyze it, doubt it, think this and that. No. No. Rasulullah's blessed statements, he's told us them things, and these things will happen. And now Iman will bear witness to this. Is it not? Is this not the case? So he was silent. Silent. End of story. He didn't speak out of undue necessity. And the king saw that my son is totally gone quiet. No political discussion, no words, no sharing, no strategy. Obviously in the court of the king, there's planning, there's issues. And the king became a bit unhappy, distressed. And he said, has he become mad? Has the jinn influenced him? He started calling the medics, the physicians, etc. And then a hakim came. And the hakim said that his brain is dry. That what it looks like that he's become silent. Allahu Akbar. So the solution is that take him out in the morning and take him for hunting. So he thought, okay, let's implement this solution. The king thought. So in the morning, he gave him a servant to his son and said to the khadim, take him, my son. And what your job is that observe every action of my son. Whatever he says or does, you have to come back and feed back to me. Let me realize, what's he doing, my son? So once he kept on coming and giving reports, feedback, no solution came out. He was just silent. Once they went hunting, there was a tree, a big tree with a barkat tree. But do you know you have the big solid trees of barka with a lot of branches, strong, robust. So the khadim said that I saw that we were going to hunt. Is there a bird sitting here? It's a big tree. He said, I was watching and I shook the tree and the leaves. I looked up and top down. Nothing, I could see nothing. There was no bird for hunting suitable. And the prince was with me and he was silent as usual. He said, after that, soon as we went past the tree, then Fakht came. And it was like a creature and it spoke. It spoke. And soon as it spoke, he said, then we turned back. When we turned back, we realized that here, there's this creature. He said, I started looking, I saw it, and it spoke from that point. Soon as he saw it, then he took the arrow and struck it onto the bird. And soon as he hunted that bird, he said, after so long, this prince spoke, Sadaqna ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Prophet of Allah, you spoke right, honest, correct. And the servant was happy that he's spoken. He goes back to the king, he gave the report. He said, what happened? He said, today was a great event, unique. He repeated the event. And he said, from the prince's mouth, the words came, Sadaqna ya Rasulullah, yo Prophet of Allah, you were correct. The king bowed his head and said, that I thought he was mad. but he is the biggest Danish and insan with awareness who's made his akhirah. Why? Why? Why did he say sadakna? He said, if this fakta did not speak, this bird, without reason, if it was silent, he would have been saved. He would have been saved. But why did it speak? Why did it need to make a noise while we were walking past? It should have stayed silent and we would have passed by. But the words of Rasulullah were correct. The person who speaks without the necessity will be destroyed. The end will come. There will be bad consequences. Do you understand my point? So there's a meaning here to extract. So the point here is that to move the tongue unnecessarily without purpose, without the maqsad. What's the maqsad? To use the tongue. Speak about deen, beneficial talk that gives us benefit, through which we can get benefit. So with that benefit, a person grabs hold of the tongue and controls it. We should control the tongue so much, so much. Otherwise, these hadith tell us that Jahannam, the factor that will take us mostly to Jahannam will be the tongue. Someone's lying, someone speaks against Allah, when he waggles the tongue, he goes to the extreme, this and criticizing, complaining, criticizing a hadith, Quranic verses. If there's nothing else to do, he debates on the hadith, on the verses of the Quran, what's right and wrong, he criticizes. In other words, a person doesn't even have ilm, knowledge. What am I saying, doing, where am I going, who am I speaking to, I don't have the manners, who is this, what is it not? From morning till evening, we waggle the tongue, unnecessarily waste of time, talk that doesn't give us benefit in this world or the hereafter. In this world or thereafter, my brothers, we have to think about this. We have to think about this. This is a very big point, very big point. Hazrat Imam Abu Dawud, rahmatullahi alayhi, this is another stress example of the emphasis of this. In Sahih al-Bukhari, there's a narration that 500,000 hadith were collected by Hazrat Imam Abu Dawud, rahmatullahi alayhi. How many? 500,000. Allah Ta'ala created such individuals who did work of the deen. We don't even remember one today. I'm saying something, we'll forget this hadith when we leave this gathering. We'll forget even that in the night we heard this, that to control the tongue, don't speak wasteful talk. We don't even remember such a short statement. Make a solid promise that we are going to remember this hadith. We are going to remember this hadith. There's such people, 500,000 hadith, he collected them, how we memorized them, how we wrote them, 500,000 hadith. And after that, then he collected the hadith, he sifted through the hadith, he differentiated the subjects and brought it down to a certain amount. Yes, then he again sifted through the hadith, then he made it 400, so 500,000 down to 400. Then from the 400, he sifted through them, analyzed them, pondered over them, then he summarized the topics in a few hadith, a handful of hadith. Imagine what great work of the deen he did, conducted. What great work of the deen. So in those hadith, these four hadith that he summarized, then he announced, Hazrat Imam Abu Dawud, that the foundation of the 700 foundations of the deen are contained within these four hadith. Allahu Akbar. Whoever practices on these hadith, he stated, he is successful. There's one hadith out of these four, whoever practices them. And from them four hadith, he wrote one hadith. Tell me, what does he write? What does he narrate? What does he communicate, share with us? That doing an action without any purpose. Aha. Doing an action without any purpose. Stop this action. Stop the action which has no purpose. Otherwise there will be destruction and not benefit. And he stopped here. Any words, any statements, any use of the tongue, any amal, don't allow it to occur without an objective. Ask yourself, is there an objective behind what I'm doing, saying? Is there's not, stay silent. Stay silent. Subhanallah. So 500,000 ahadith, as Imam Abu Dawud said, that if we summarize them, squeeze them, take the meaning out, if you want to be successful, take these four hadith, out of which one is that don't move your tongue, use your tongue unnecessarily without a purpose or do any actions. Listen to, subhanAllah, another hadith. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari, rahimahullah ta'ala, has narrated this hadith. And he stated that Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet ﷺ was once sitting, present. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, were there. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, the next man to walk past through this door will be the inhabitant of paradise. Great statement. Sahaba Ikram were amazed that the next man to enter through this doorway, he'll be what? He'll be from paradise. The Sahaba were alert. Attention, who's this lucky man who today's been given the glad tidings of Jannah? In this world he's been given the glad tidings. And the second happiness is that we will also see who's Jannati, who's going to go to Jannah. What a great statement. So all of the Sahaba became alert, ready, they're watching. Who's going to come through this door next? After a while, they saw that Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu was coming through the doorway. Suddenly they ran to him, all of the Sahaba, the companions, everyone had the same question. Abdullah bin Salam, brother, tell us. He's amazed, shocked. What is it you're asking me? What did you do? He said, why is it you're asking me? And he was shocked himself. Please tell us first, what did you do? SubhanAllah, should we do this deed or not? Tell me. Should we? Yes, that's why I'm speaking with you. That's why I'm communicating with you. Today, I'm not feeling good, I'm weak, I'm ill. But alhamdulillah, we are talking good discussion topic and these hadith are benefiting us. Otherwise, I didn't have the courage or the ability or energy to speak today. So, may Allah Ta'ala give us such opportunities, allow us to think of these beautiful things to share. The pious predecessors, they communicated good learnings to us. We shouldn't waste them. Those same people, wattaqullah, who have fear in Allah, yaqeen in Allah, certainty, we're going to die. And we're going to reach to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Surah Baqarah teaches us this, that those people have yaqeen, certainty on this, that we are going to die. We're going to reach to the court of Allah, to the presence of Allah. Then they do the actions that will assist them on that journey. And they look for the deeds that will somehow give them salvation and forgiveness. And they embrace those deeds and start practicing them, sticking to them, adhering to them. Who knows life, how long it is? What is their length? So this is not something small. This is not something small, insignificant. So please tell us that amal, please tell us that your deed. We'll tell you after why we're asking you. He said, I do two deeds that maybe come to my mind that are maybe worth something. Alhamdulillah, maybe I can say that they are good deeds and I'm satisfied with those deeds. One of those deeds is where I consider that is good, is that I don't speak unnecessarily. I don't do waste of time, idle talk. They said, Mubarak, this deed of yours, due to which Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given you the glad tidings of paradise. SubhanAllah. So from this hadith it is proven, whoever does this action in this world, he'll be given the glad tidings of Jannah, paradise. Will we do this? Will we strive, me and you? What a great clue we've been given, that the tongue, our tongues, what sins we commit, all of those with eliminate with the blessings of Allah, they will all go. We'll stop backbiting and slander, gossip mongering, envy, jealousy. Silence will cure all of this. We won't think morning and evening. And such a burden the tongue puts on our heads, until the night we'll sit 2-3 a.m. Oh, let's drink some tea, backbiting, talking about people, actors, films, friends. He did this, she said that, he's getting married. Why did he do this? Why did he say that? He did this to him. When are you going? When's he coming? No basis, no purpose. Waste of time. So tie the knot. We say in Punjabi, gand marlo. Yes? That we say, the gand bandale in Urdu. Or tie the knot on this practice, meaning secure this practice that we're not going to speak unnecessarily. We're not going to do any speech unnecessarily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this cure. It's not hard. Then Allah's help will come to us. Allah's help will come to us. Allah's assistance will come to us. The help will come to us. Most definitely. See how the tariqah that Allah ta'ala will give us the solution through this sahabi, that this is the message that's been delivered to us. That stay silent, and in the world while you're living, you'll be given the glad tidings of paradise. Don't worry. Don't worry, don't be distressed. You will be saved from the sins. So, brothers, friends, we have understood this point as well now, that the sins that will take us towards hellfire are the internal sins, out of which the factor is the tongue is such a dangerous sin that when a person wakes up, me and you, when we wake up, we don't even know. But from the tongue, everything is demonstrated. You know, all of the issues around us, they all have a tongue. Our organs, our limbs, our hair, anything that's attached to our body has a tongue. They are alive because they do the dhikr of Allah. There's nothing that doesn't do dhikr. The hair does dhikr of Allah. When it breaks, it breaks when it doesn't do dhikr. Everything is a dhakir. It's remembering, except for the insan. That this is our situation, we are ghafil, we are lazy, negligent. So everything has a tongue. And when me and you, we get up for our shops, businesses in the morning, we think we're getting up. But all of the parts of our body, they get together and stand up. Who's telling us this? Who's telling us this? The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So is this honesty or not? Tell me. Will they speak or not? The organs, the limbs, the hands, they speak. They say to the tongue, For the sake of Allah, we are asking you, O tongue, look after yourself, O tongue. Don't do anything wrong, tongue. If you say the wrong things, you will make the mistake and we will get the punishment. Say the organs and limbs of the hand, says this, the feet, the nose, the ears, the eyes, everything begs, pleads, requests to the tongue. For the sake of Allah, don't say things during the day that will give us all the wrong consequences. So they request the tongue, the organs of the body. That's how dangerous is the tongue. And when the tongue is brought into line, it's trained, it's aligned, then every word of the tongue will take us to Jannah. But we've spoiled the tongue. So when we control the tongue, when it's silent, alhamdulillah, then what will it show us? That don't ask from where to where we will reach. From where to where we will reach. So do you understand what I'm saying? That mostly the loss that will be given to us is what? The tongue. The tongue. And what is the cure for the tongue? What is the cure for the misuse of the tongue? Silence. You understand what I'm saying? And silence, Allah Ta'ala has given us a route so we can bring silence into our life. How do I become a person who observes silence and doesn't talk unnecessarily? From today, let's promise that we will stay silent. Allah, and that's good. And for that, we need to do one action to remain silent, which will give us less sins and give us salvation. Easy solution. Easy to start the dhikr of Allah. Start the dhikr of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says that this dhikr I've given to you, wherever my dhikr is being done, control your tongue. Control your tongue. And so as a result of the dhikr, your tongue will be controlled. If you want to see a dhakir, a pure dhakir who's remembering Allah, his tongue will be in control. The Naqshbandi, you know, we are Naqshbandi, you are Naqshbandi. The quality of a Naqshbandi student, you know the point, the key quality of a Naqshbandi, qilat-e tam, qilat-e anam, qilat-e qalam. If a Naqshbandi, you want to become a pure, sincere Naqshbandi, our pious predecessors have said that the condition, the precondition is eating less, sleeping less, and speaking less. These are the conditions. So when a Naqshbandi, if we want to become Naqshbandi, what should we do? Speak less. Very few words, only out of necessity. And this is the quality, characteristic of the Naqshbandi walis. When you see a Naqshbandi sheikh, when he speaks to the point, no wasteful talk, there's no chance he will do wasteful talk. No chance. He is an ocean of guidance due to his silence. He is a total ocean of guidance due to his silence. His silence is an ocean. Why? This is the promise of Allah. That the person who controls his tongue, who observes silence due to me, Allah Ta'ala says, then I announce that his ocean, his heart and life becomes an ocean. That person is an ocean of guidance. It's a Punjabi couplet. What's that couplet? It doesn't come to mind. That if you make your heart an ocean, that the walis of Allah, their hearts, the Naqshbandi teachers, they are like oceans and they're deeper than oceans. Not one. So many hundreds and hundreds, untold. Untold, you lose count. Looking at the lives of the pious predecessors who have been recorded in the kitabs, the Naqshbandi teachers, who? They weren't people who had the external knowledge. They weren't scholars. They didn't study ilm or from the institutes. But their words, their ulum, their knowledge, their hikmah, their apparent practice, their statement of hadith and teaching hadith was such, it's like you are within the ocean of guidance, within the ocean of guidance. That such nur of Quran and hadith would come out from their words. Great, great walis of Allah. What was the reason? Because when a person for the sake of Allah observes silence, then Allah Ta'ala with hikmah, due to the light of wisdom, fills his heart with the ocean. When you stop futile talk, then your heart fills with hikmah, ulum, knowledge, Quran, hadith starts to emanate and come out from your wujud, your inner state, your body. You become full of nur and light and guidance. And this is the result of silence. So two qualities that come about due to staying silent when following the Naqshbandi tariqa, not due to dhikr. The rewards of dhikr, we get benefit. When a person does dhikr, he does a lot of dhikr. For this reason, our Naqshbandi silsila, all of the lessons in the Naqshbandi chain of teachers, we have a course. We have a proper course. First lesson, second lesson, third lesson, fourth lesson. Not that you have become bay'ah with the sheikh and you pledge allegiance and, oh, just do la ilaha illallah tasbih and that's it. No, this is not in the Naqshbandi Islam. It's a progressive improvement course. Dhikr of Allah, we learn the kalimat that we read in the beginning of dhikr, khatam al-khwajgan. So we send the du'as and kalimats to the pious predecessors. But these are not our lessons of dhikr. This is not the Naqshbandi tariqah. This is just to assist and create momentum for the mareed. And then I give the lessons. We give the lessons. Naqshbandi Tariqah gives the lessons. So a person does dhikr in the heart silently. Silently. And there are 39 maqamats that a person goes towards. 39 levels. Haqiqat, reality of Kaaba, reality of Salah, reality of Quran. These are all lessons and stages a person has to surpass in the journey of the Naqshbandi Sizla to become Salih close to Allah. And this is all inside. Not one thing is uttered from the tongue. So this is the Naqshbandi Silsila, the miracle of Naqshbandi Silsila. Alhamdulillah, that everything you attain from silence, everything. Our mashaykh, subhanAllah, they take the students to the Kaaba through the secret route. And mashallah, you are Naqshbandi. And the quality of a Naqshbandi is as he's doing dhikr, he observes silence. Silence increases and he's lost in silence. He gives the answer from the ushering of the mouth. He doesn't speak what's happened. Oh, you're not talking, man. We're sitting with you. On this journey, he'll be silent. Everything for him is attention focused on Allah. Because he knows that why should I speak out of no necessity. So nur comes into the heart, into the body, into the batin. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to remain silent to attain Jannah, you have to do one thing, one action, which is the dhikr of Allah. And also that dhikr you have to learn from a Naqshbandi sheikh, teacher. Be serious. Allah, I want to depart this world. When I pass away, successful. And my objective is to make my akhirah. That's when you are Naqshbandi. Apart from that, if you have any other intention, then there's no chance of success. There's no chance of success. So we know that what kind of Naqshbandi am I? You don't even come in the morning, you don't attend the majlis, you don't sit in maraqabah, dhikr, silent dhikr. We say we are Naqshbandi, we've done bayah with the teacher, we pledge allegiance, and we've learned dhikr. If you're Naqshbandi, come fajr time and sit in the majlis with me 1.5 hours and do maraqabah. So that your tongue is restrained all day long and you observe silence and the difference will come. Should you come or not? Yes. So every one of you should come in the morning. Come, join the maraqabah, join dhikr. That is the afdal, greatest dhikr. These kalamats we recite in the beginning of the dhikr session, khatam-e khwajgan, the kalamas, the verses, the du'as, we recite them and then we ask Allah to send the ithale thawab, the thawab, the root of these to our pious predecessors. Then we start the real dhikr session, the silent dhikr. That's the silent dhikr. We're silent, we start reciting Allah's name on the heart and the tongue doesn't move and we're lost in dhikr. And this is how we attain all the maqamat. Close the eyes and open the heart. Illuminate the heart. Detach from the dunya. The Naqshbandi tariqah methodology, khalwat bar anjaman. Khalwat is isolation, seclusion, alone. And anjuman is the gathering. He cannot be a Naqshbandi that he's sitting in a gathering and he's not in isolation. Do you understand the point what I'm saying? That even if you're sitting in a gathering, an assembly of people, but even then you can detach your heart. It doesn't matter how big is the gathering, it will not disturb that person. It's just like he's sitting alone in a room remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he will not be affected by the big, big gathering. In other words, every second, whether you're sitting with 100,000, 1,000, or fewer people, the Naqshbandi will consider himself detached and he doesn't think that he's stuck in a big gathering. He'll remember Allah in the heart. So my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed me to discuss these points with you and you brothers have heard. Let's do dua to Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala gives our islah, rectifies us. What is life? There's no guarantee. These beads of the tasbih, every day the bead drops. One day's gone, next day's gone, next day's gone, next day's gone, next day's gone. Let's control ourselves. Prepare for the akhirah. This is a big thing. Big thing. From the Quran we get the guidance. All ibadat, worship, we destroy with our tongue. Misuse of the tongue. Focus on the batin, ponder, analyze your internal self. Allah has opened the doors. All, yes, work in the world, earn, career, taxi driving, business, tijara. There's nothing, no restriction in Islam, but focus on the akhirah. Focus on the akhirah. Therefore, my brothers, tomorrow, whilst we're passing away, the angels will extract our ruh. Nothing in this dunya will help us. Nothing. We see every day. Until the grave, we're still running after the dunya. Even people leave us at the graveyard and there will be lots of people, and then when they lower us into the grave, there will be fewer people. Then they will leave, the people leave. Nobody cares, generally speaking. So if I prepare, depart from the world, pure and clean, I won't need anyone to be with me at the time of janazah. The angels will be with in us, inshallah. So let's not pass the life with disobedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yesterday we were young, then middle age, then old age. Why are we proud of our lives, what we achieved? Look at our wujud bodies. I was young, youthful, used to speak openly, walk around openly, and we used to go to wedding functions. We had children, business, money, and then where do we reach at the end of life? So what we need to do is worry, have fikr. It's easy to have fikr, make a program, a schedule, make a connection with a wali of Allah, a teacher, a sheikh, create the connection. The meaning of creating connection doesn't mean that you leave everything you're doing. Tabligh, you leave, no. Or ta'lim, you leave, no. Keep continuing all of your work at the end. Do tabligh and daras and ilm and knowledge. This is a private subject, islah. Learning from the sheikh. When you're free from your work, your career, then your friend, the wali of Allah, sit with him, meet him, learn dhikr, tell him your issues, your deficiencies, your sins, your downfalls. Listen to his advice, guidance, nasiha. Try to practice what he's saying. Just like when we speak regularly, take the CD, listen to it time and time again. Keep on listening. Fikr, worry. And then, alhamdulillah, what will happen? That you will start to dislike the wasteful things in the world and you'll start to practice for the hereafter. And the first sign of this, I'll tell you, that mashallah, you will feel this, that when a person starts like this, okay, you know, there's dhikr here, there's a gathering here, and he doesn't feel then he's missed anything. Always in the car, he's got a CD, listening to the advice, the majalis, and those points are revolving in his mind, he becomes fana. That when he's sleeping, in the dream, he starts to see those factors and points. So then you can understand that I am now totally detached from the wastefulness of the dunya, I've reached close to Allah, you're still working and pursuing things in the world, but you're close to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala make you and me all solid, robust Muslims. Ameen.